Off the Ball, GAA.
You would have associated Cork with small, nippy players. That seems to be changing now. They're big, nippy players.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Rugby Daily. With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Thursday's Rugby Daily. I'm Richie McCormack. On the way, Scott Beamond makes three changes to the Ireland women's team for Saturday's Six Nations clash with England. Munster receive a timely boost ahead of their Investec Champions Cup quarterfinal with Bordeaux. And Leinster named their team to play Glasgow. Rugby Daily and Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. First today, Scott Beamond has made three changes to the Ireland team for Saturday's Women's Six Nations game with England at Virgin Media Park. In the only change among the backs, Emily Lane returns at scrum half, with Evan Riley dropping to the bench. Ruth Campbell makes way for the returning Dorothy Wall in the second row. And with captain Edel McMahon ruled out through injury, Brittany Hogan comes in at blindside flanker. Having gone with a 6-2 split on the bench against Italy, Beamon's reverted to 5-3, with Vicky Elms-Kinlan poised to make her first Six Nations appearance. Enya Breen is another dropped from the matchday 23 through injury. Wall says she played with a point to prove, having been relegated to the bench against the Atsuri.
Oh yeah, I'd say if you sat anyone in here and they were dropped, they'd say the same. But yeah, I had a few things I needed to work on, and I think it's an important skill to know how to come off the bench too. It's very different to starting. You kind of have to judge the momentum of the game, how much energy you need to bring. Do you just need to come in and do a job and not like overcompensate in a way and make mistakes that will actually go against what you're trying to do as a team? So it was a great lesson for me. I took a lot from it and really enjoyed the 20 or 30 minutes I got, and have really enjoyed the prep for this week too.
England are on a 31 match winning streak in the Women's Six Nations, and Ireland head coach Scott Beamond believes they can bring that to a close on Saturday.
Yeah, can we? Yeah, we believe we can. We talk about awe versus belief. It's not as simple as just accepting that you don't need to be in awe, but we've played against these girls before. Some of the girls play in the PWR, rub shoulders with them regularly. Some of us have coached in that system, so we know every system has opportunities and flaws. So they've got some certain bits of the game that we know we need to deal with. Some certain bits of the game that we'll need to be prepared to act physically, think fast, but their game's got opportunities for us. So we believe, in terms of certainly over the last 18 months, that the players have grown in how they can take advantage of those. In terms of the athleticism of the game, our group has been growing, has made great strides in terms of the strength, power, fitness you need to be able to compete with the Tier 1 nations. So no, it's a great opportunity for us to test ourselves. We know how many moments of pressure we got them under last year. We're a different team to that now. I'm expecting us to create more pressure on them, give them more things to worry about, and we'll make some of that stick. And then if we're in a game, we know that we've got the ability to kick on and hang in there, a bit like that New Zealand fixture. So yeah, it's not just about turning up this weekend for us. It's about showing everybody that we're a tough team to beat, that you've got to produce a performance to get anything out of us. And then when we get those moments, we'll make our moments count.
While Ireland conceded 88 points to England at Twickenham 12 months ago, Dorothy Wall is adamant that things will be different come Saturday.
Yeah, look, we knew that would come up. It was not a great day whatsoever, but you know, there's a reason they're in the position they are in the world rankings, and I think probably everyone who's come in here in front of you, and I think it's pretty obvious to everyone that we're a different team than played in Twickenham that day. And you know, they had the occasion in Twickenham that I don't know how many numbers they had, maybe 40,000, but it's very different when we bring them down to Cork. That's all I'll say. And you know, we're at home in Munster, and it's passionate, and we're really up for it. This whole week there's been, you know, a great energy. We're having fun as well, and we train hard, we're having fun, and you know, every meeting, like, we're talking about it and what our plan is, and you're nearly getting up for it in every meeting, so you have to bring yourself down so you're, you know, not too overstimulated the whole time. But no, it's been a really good week of prep. Really looking forward to playing in Cork and seeing how many of us can turn up as Irish supporters.
And on today's Six Nations show, former Ireland back rower Anna Kaplis says Beamond has been quite clever there with his words.
Well, Scott Beamond said it there. Now, he didn't say, yeah, I definitely think we'll win this weekend. It's actually kind of nice. And I was chatting to one of the Scottish girls there when she came to La Rochelle, and she was saying, you know, the France and England week is always an interesting one, because actually the pressure is a little bit off, because you don't have to win. You just have to play your absolute best, and it's kind of a nice place to be. Whereas, you know, against, when it comes to the teams a little bit closer at your level, the pressure is on for results and points and that. Like, not saying that everyone's like, oh, don't mind, you know, turning around. People want to play their best. And I think that, you know, what Scott Beaman's saying there, like, fire some shots, that would be the marker of success this weekend. They don't have to win. The Irish team does not have to win this weekend. But, like, to talk about, like, firing shots, like, it's interesting, and talking about WXV1 as well. So the Jess Breach has a podcast with Ellie Kildon. It's really nice to get, like, current players' insight, and they speak very openly, honestly, and it's one of the things that is coming with, you know, women's rugby at the moment, and the content that's being created, that's absolutely awesome, and the insight into what it looks like now. But Jess Breach said that for the first time, maybe for her, in an English jersey against Canada, the thought crossed her mind that, oh my God, we might lose here. So the first time against Canada, or the first time in a match like that, that wasn't a World Cup final, she felt like they could lose. I reckon if Ireland could get one or two, or the full English pack, to think for even a second that they might lose this game, that is a massive message to send out to England themselves coming into a World Cup, and to the Irish, because you can sense that. You can sense when you have a team like that, could you get under their skin for longer than 60 minutes? Because often Ireland has been able to do that. Stay with the team for 60 minutes, see you later in the last 20 minutes. If they can really worry England, they don't really have to win. Like, you know, it's firing shots is what Scott Beaman is talking about there. It's just, make people raise some eyebrows would be a marker of success against England this weekend, I think.
There's lots more from that Six Nations show with Anna Kaplis and former World Rugby Player of the Year Sarah Hunter elsewhere in the OTB rugby feed. John Mitchell, for his part, has made three changes to his pack for Saturday's game. Hannah Botterman and Maud Muir come into the front row for Mackenzie Carson and Sarah Byrne. Maud Fianatley is replaced at number 8 by Alex Matthews. So the teams, starting with the hosts Ireland, Stacey Flood is at full-back, Anna McGann's on the right wing, with captain Amy Lee Costigan on the left. In the centre once more are Aoife Dalton and Eve Higgins. Dana O'Brien continues at out-half, and Emily Lane comes in at scrum-half. There's a front row of Niamh O'Dowd, Niamh Jones and Linda Dugang. Fiona Tewitt this week is partnered by Dorothy Wall in the second row, and there's a back row then of Brittany Hogan, Erin King and Aoife Wafer. On the bench for Ireland will be Cleona Maloney, Siobhan McCarthy and Christy Haney, Ruth Campbell, Grace Moore, Evan Riley, Nicole Fowley and Vicky Elms-Kinlan. England go with Ellie Kildon at full-back, Abby Dow and Jess Breach are their wingers. In the centre for England are Megan Jones and Tatiana Hurd. Zoe Harrison's at out-half, Natasha Hunt at scrum-half. They have a front row of the returning Hannah Botterman, Lark Atkin-Davies and Maud Muir. Morwenna Talling and Abby Ward are in the second row. And they have a back row of captain Zoe Aldcroft, Sadia Kabea and Alex Matthews. On the bench are Amy Cockayne, Kelsey Clifford and Sarah Byrne, Rosie Galligan, Maddie Fionati, Lucy Packer, Holly Aitchison and Helena Rowland. Meanwhile, World Cup warm-up fixtures have been confirmed for both Cork and Belfast today. Ireland will take on Scotland at Virgin Media Park on August 2nd and will head to Kingspan Stadium a week later for their final pre-tournament fixture, which comes against Canada. A reminder that Ireland are in Pool C at the World Cup, which they'll commence at Franklin's Gardens on August 24th. They'll play Spain at the same venue 7 days later and complete their pool duties against New Zealand at Brighton's Amex Stadium on September 7th.
This week on Diverted.
What have you heard about this festival?
That they fight each other. And some people in the past, they choose to die. So
you say that they choose to die?
Some of them. Because for them, it's not something bad. If somebody dies, for the whole community, is like an offering for Pachamama. to say thank you for what they have in life, the products, all this stuff.
In episode 3, we're going to Bolivia.
As soon as I get there, this cloud of white gas starts billowing towards me.
Tear gas.
Oh my God, I can actually feel it.
Go, guys.
Go.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tune in and get diverted
on Off the Ball.
Munster have received a massive boost ahead of Saturday's Investec Champions Cup quarterfinal away to Bordeaux. Alex Nankivell has been cleared to play at the Stade Chaban Delmas following a successful appeal from Munster after his sending off against Connacht in the URC. The Kiwi centre missed last week's win away to La Rochelle on account of that red card shown by referee Craig Evans after Nankivell made contact with the head of Connacht captain Cian Prendergast. But an appeal committee comprised of Scottish duo Rod McKenzie and Rory Bannerman, aided by the Italian Achille Reali, upheld that appeal, clearing Nankivell to play in Bordeaux. He'll likely partner Tom Farrell when the Munster team is revealed tomorrow. Sean O'Brien had filled in there last week. Meanwhile, Bordeaux are to recall Louis Biel-Biarri and Marco Gazzotti for Saturday's encounter. Both were rested for Sunday's win over Ulster. Given the short turnaround for Bordeaux, Guido Petty, Jefferson Porro and Roman Burros avoided training so far this week due to respective elbow, groin and ankle issues. And don't forget, Bordeaux versus Munster in the Investec Champions Cup quarterfinals is live on Saturday's Off the Ball. Jordy Barrett will start in the Leinster Centre for tomorrow night's Champions Cup quarterfinal with Glasgow Warriors. The All Blacks start means that Robbie Henshaw's 100th appearance for the province will come from the bench. On the right wing, Tommy O'Brien replaces Jamie Osborne, while Ronan Kelleher makes his first Leinster start since January, having recovered from a neck injury to dislodge Dan Sheehan from the hooker position. He's part of an all-new front row, along with Cian Healy and Tyke Furlong, who come in for Andrew Porter and Rabah Slimani. Caelan Dorris drops to the bench, which sees Jack Conan switch from blindside to captain the team from number 8, and Max Deegan will start to Conan's right. There's another alteration to the bench as well, with Dermot Mangan providing second row cover instead of Ryan Baird. Franco Smith, meanwhile, has made 3 changes to his pack for tomorrow night's clash at the Aviva. Rory Darge is promoted from the bench to make his first Glasgow start since January, with Sione Vailanu swapping to number 8 and Henko Ventner missing out. In the second row, Alex Samuel is in for JP Dupreez, and with Xander Fagerson out with a head injury, there's a start at tight end for Sam Talakai. So the teams for tomorrow night, starting with Leinster, and Hugo Keenan continues at fullback. Tommy O'Brien starts on the right wing. James Lowe continues on the left. Gary Ringrose partnered this week in the centre by Jordy Barrett. The halfbacks are unchanged. Sam Prendergast and Jemison Gibson-Park. An all-new front row then of Cian Healy, Ronan Kelleher and Tyke Furlong. Joe McCarthy and Orgie Snyman continue the second row partnership. And there's a reconfigured back row of Max Deegan, Josh Van Der Fleer and captain for the night Jack Conan. Dan Sheehan, Andrew Porter and Rabah Slimani will cover the front row. Dermot Mangan and Caelan Dorris the other forwards. Luke McGrath, Ross Byrne and Robbie Henshaw will look after the backs. For Glasgow, Kyle Rowe starts a full back for them. On the wings, Jamie Dobie and captain Kyle Stain. Stafford McDell and Tom Jordan are their effective centre partnership. Adam Hastings and George Horn are the halfbacks. They have a front row of Nathan Macbeth, Johnny Matthews and Sam Talakai. Gregor Brown and Alex Samuel are in the second row. And they have a back row then of Matt Fagerson, Rory Darge and Sione Vailanu. On the bench for Glasgow tomorrow will be Grant Stewart, Jamie Batty, Patrick Schickerling, JP Dupreez, Max Williamson, Ewan Ferry, Ben Afshar and Sebastian Cancellari. The Welsh Rugby Union has announced its restructuring programme will put up to 20 jobs at risk. The governing body has a 5-year plan to create a new performance department, which will provide £5 million in annual savings. Chief Executive Abby Tierney says they'll look after the well-being and welfare of employees during a period of consultation. That news comes less than 24 hours after the WRU confirmed it had taken control of stricken club Cardiff after it signalled its intention to enter administration. The union says it took the step once it became clear that the club's owner, Helford Capital, was unable to meet the obligations to fund the club as it was contractually obliged to do. Abby Tierney added that it was unthinkable for them to allow the demise of professional rugby in the Welsh capital. Players have been assured that all contracts will be honoured and they will continue to play at the Arms Park. Cardiff chair Alan Jones spoke with BBC Wales.
I'm devastated. I mean, there's no other way of describing it. It's an awful situation. And I said, you know, it's not something that I ever envisaged would happen during my tenure. It's not how I envisaged, you know, the journey ending for me. I am pleased and so relieved for the staff, in the club for the players, for the future of rugby in Cardiff, that we were able to kind of collaborate so quickly with the governing body, you know, who didn't hesitate to step in. So there's a sense of relief there, but, you know, obviously there's a sense of disappointment, devastation. You know, I'll go away and I'll reflect on it, I'm sure. But, you know, of course, you know, it's, as I said, it's not something that I ever envisaged happening. So, you know, we were, you know, riding the wave of elation, kind of, you know, 12 months plus ago, thinking that, you know, things were on the up. So it's, you know, it's hugely disappointing, obviously.
Now, France legend Sébastien Chabal has shone a light on the price he's paid for playing top-level rugby. Capped 62 times during the first 11 years of this century, Chabal told the Legend programme in France that he has no memory of a single second of a rugby match that he played in. Chabal attributes his memory loss to concussions sustained as a player, which were not as well managed, of course, as they are in the present day. He added, "I don't remember a single one of the 62 Marseillaises that I experienced. Sometimes I say to my wife, actually, I think that it wasn't me who played rugby." Chabal also says he has no memory of the birth of his own daughter. Benetton have thrown a spanner in the works of La Rochelle's preparations for next season. You may remember earlier this week I brought you the news that Ronan O'Gara's side were hopeful of bringing Tommaso Menoncello to Western France in the summer. The Italy centre still has a year remaining on his contract, meaning La Rochelle would have to pay a transfer fee to sign Menoncello this summer. Reports in France say talks with Menoncello are already at an advanced stage, but Benetton president Amerino Zatta is not for turning. He's quoted by Gazzettino in Italy as saying, "We have informed the interested clubs, as well as Menoncello and his agents, that the club has no intention of selling him. Tommy is a major asset for this club. He has a contract with us until June 2026, and I can assure you that our desire is for him to remain in Treviso." And finally, while Menoncello looks set to stay in Italy, a pair of Scottish internationals are bound for France. Van have confirmed the capture on a two-year deal of Edinburgh's 34-year-old hooker Dave Cherry, while his Edinburgh teammate Ali Price is to join Montpellier, where he'll replace Cobus Reinach, who in turn is heading back to South Africa with the DHL Stormers. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge Monday to Friday. And don't forget, we'll have live coverage of Bordeaux's meeting with Munster in the Investec Champions League quarterfinals on Saturday's Off the Ball. But until tomorrow, take care and thanks for listening.
To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.